Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 24th June 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Michael Owen, MUFG's Head of Global Client Desk for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Afternoon, Michael.
Yet another big week in terms of the rates market volatility. How do you see these developments in terms of market pricing for the dollar going forward?
Yeah, it's been a very significant week, and there's definitely pretty compelling evidence, Michael, that the dynamic in the market is shifting. Obviously, through much of this year, it's been all about inflation and central banks being behind the curve and inflation out of control. And while that is still a valid concern, there's definitely been a shift to more emphasis on the potential consequences from the tightening of policy. And recession fears have really come to the focus this week. That was highlighted by the incredible drop that we had in short-term rates in Europe in particular yesterday. So the two-year German bond yield down 25 basis points. That's the biggest drop since March 2008, when we had the Bear Stearns collapse at the beginning of the global financial crisis. So, you know, huge moves. Now, yesterday's move was prompted by the PMIs, the advanced PMIs, which dropped quite notably, like the composite down three percentage points. And that's certainly indicative of slowing GDP. But the scale of the move, is that a reflection of the importance of the PMI data, or is it a reflection of maybe excessive pricing in the first place? And I think certainly it's the latter. I've said on these podcasts before, and you know, many other people say it as well, that you know, the pricing in the market had certainly become excessive, and it was quite unlikely that central banks would deliver what was priced. And I think this week we've seen a real realization of that, and hence the big move the other way in rates. From an FX perspective, though, and I think this could certainly continue, is that we've had a move across the board. And therefore, from a relative value perspective, there hasn't really been anything to trade on, nothing significant. And therefore, when you look at the moves in FX this week, they've been relatively modest. But, you know, growth is slowing. The dollar is weakening now as I speak, because the Michigan University sentiment inflation expectations, long-term inflation expectations, was revised down from 3.3 to 3.1%. Now, Powell mentioned that in his press conference one of the reasons for going for it by 75 basis points. And of course, much of that has now been revised away. So again, it kind of reinforces the concerns about the Fed going excessively hawkishly over the short term and what the implications of that might be further down the road. Like before, when we spoke the last time, Michael, you know, we're in a kind of a mixed zone of the yield story looks to be pointing towards dollar weakness, but we're still a little bit apprehensive about calling an end to the dollar rally. And that's just these recession fears that are now emerging makes the prospects of further equity market declines that bit greater, we think. And therefore, the whole tightening of financial conditions and declines in equities, we still think that that could potentially have further to go. And if that unfolds, then, you know, obviously from a US dollar perspective, you would argue that the dollar could strengthen further from here. And equity markets, when you look at some of the indicators like forward PE ratios, we're actually still slightly above the long-term average. So, you know, that to me tells you there's definitely scope for further corrections to the downside Then one of the indicators, the sentiment indicators that we look at, the National Association of Active Investment Managers, the equity sentiment index there is showing we're reaching stretch levels to the downside, but we're not yet at extremes that we've had, for example, during the pandemic or even during the China turmoil in early 2016 or the kind of debt crisis concerns in 2011, 2012. So just from a historical perspective, while sentiment has certainly deteriorated, you would certainly argue that there's potential there for more. And of course, we've got the corporate earnings results for Q2 unfolding in July. And then, of course, we have the potential for the Fed doing another 50 or 75 towards the end of July. So challenging times still lie ahead. And while the rate story might start to point, certainly some of the spreads do now point to the potential for the dollar to weaken a bit. Risk aversion and tighter financial conditions argue that the dollar could remain strong going forward over the next month or two still.
Thanks very much, Derek. Yeah, sounds like choppy trading ahead. What do you think about the week ahead and how this will impact currencies?
A lot to kind of look at and focus for next week. Again, just there deliberating about, you know, the dollar and whether we could start to weaken or strengthen further. I think next week, I think natural gas prices would be a big focus, and they've become a focus, understandably, in Europe. Clearly, since last week, Putin starting to play games in terms of slowing the flow of natural gas into Germany and Italy. And that has resulted in a 57% increase in the TTF front contract on natural gas on the continent in Europe. 57% increase since the 13th of June. So we are reaching problematic levels. And that was reflected this week when Germany announced that it was raising its kind of emergency stage setup one notch higher to what they call the alarm phase. And that's just one away from the worst phase, which would be the potential for rationing of natural gas supplies. And given the likelihood that the supply story is not going to change favorably over the short term, and we do have some repair work being done on the Nord Stream pipe for a 10-day period through July, which will obviously constrain supplies as well. It all just points to the risk that we could see further price increases going forward. And if the markets start to consider, you know, the prospect of the rationing of natural gas prices in the largest economy in the Eurozone, that is going to have implications for obviously inflation, but perhaps more importantly for growth. And the window for the ECB to raise rates in circumstances when natural gas prices really start to lurch higher would start to close. And it's hard to envisage, rate hike action perhaps after September if the natural gas story continues to deteriorate and really starts to undermine growth outlook going forward. So that would be important next week, given what's happened this week. In addition to that, we've got the G7 summit meeting taking place in Germany. That starts on Sunday over a 3-day period. Again, perhaps flipping the other way, and kind of consistent with what I was talking about a moment ago, Michael, there is a potential there for a euro bullish story because, President Biden has spoken about the potential of removing trade tariffs on China as a way of tackling the inflation problem. Given the kind of one of the focuses will, of course, be on the inflation problem globally, we may get something from Biden in relation to that. We'll also have discussions on the price cap on crude oil idea that has been put forward before. And then I think also it's important to highlight, I would call it a small risk, but something that's worth mentioning. And that, of course, is the G7 statement, which incorporates the well-known communication in relation to foreign exchange policy. Japan may well push for some emphasis on that. and we may get something in the statement, certainly reaffirming the G7 FX statement about not wanting disorderly price action and that FX rates should reflect broadly the fundamental backdrop. And if that is the case, it could be perceived as some shift in G7 stance towards some greater concern about continued US dollar strength. You know, certainly when you look at the energy feed through into non-dollar countries, obviously that is reinforced by currency weakness versus the US dollar. And therefore, it's not consistent with fighting global inflation to allow for currency depreciation that reinforces crude oil price rises in non-dollar countries. So something to watch out for in the G7 summit. And then finally, we've got the ECB forum in Sintra in Portugal. Previous years, that has been an important kind of platform for ECB communications. And again, in the context of concerns about Italy and BTP bund spreads, do they go 25 or do they go 50 in July? I think in that sense, the Sintra forum in Portugal would be quite important. Powell and Bailey and other central bankers will also be speaking. The big event will be on Wednesday when Lagarde, Powell and Bailey all speak on the same forum. So a big week in terms of updated communications from some of the key central bank speakers.
And lastly, but certainly not least, trade ideas, Derek. If you could give us an update on your trade ideas, that'd be great.
We're still running the same trade idea, which is essentially long Swiss franc versus the Japanese yen. Last week, after the big, big surprise central bank announcement with the SNB hiking by 50 basis points, the big surprise, given there was pretty limited guidance in relation to them doing that, that resulted in the Swiss franc being the best performing currency last week. And again, this week, the Swiss franc is the best performing currency. In fact, it's the only G10 currency that has strengthened versus the US dollar. So from a Swiss yen perspective, it's certainly pointing to the potential for further increases in Swiss yen going forward. Now, the one dynamic that has changed a little bit that has limited yen depreciation this week is, of course, what I said at the beginning, and that is the fact that global yields are falling, recession fears are increasing, and crude oil, for example, has been under some downward pressure. That kind of global mix obviously dilutes the power of the BOJ's monetary stance in limiting the upside for JGB yields, and it takes away some of the negativity for the Japanese yen. But nonetheless, Swiss yen still still advanced further this week, and I think going forward, even in the dynamic with yields and what happened this week, as long as we don't get a repetition of the scale of the moves this week, Swiss yen, I think, is a currency move to the upside that probably has further to go.
Thanks very much, Derek, and wishing everyone a good week ahead.
Thanks, Michael, and you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.